RadioInfluence.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, a wrestling contest for the world's heavyweight championship. Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Crushell. The Con Man is here keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, or if you have a topic you'd like us to investigate, let us know. Write to us at info@crushperformance.com. You can go to our website, Crush Performance, to get all of our blogs, our links, and our hookups to the world of human performance. As we work to share ideas and keep you on the cutting edge to get you thinking about what you should be thinking about if you're simply trying to get good at something. Listen, we know for a fact that getting good at something isn't as difficult as you might think. You just need to know what to do, and that's what the show's all about. If you're on Twitter, at Jeff Crushes our handle, we don't tweet a lot, but when there's something important to say or when there's just something on our mind that we want to get out there, we will send out a tweet or two. And on Facebook, it's Crush Performance. And you can go there to get sneak peeks of our podcasts, our blogs, articles, links, and as well our free giveaways. And right now we have a free ebook that we put out. Again, to just get people thinking about what we think they should be thinking about in order to maximize their performance. It's called The Key to Performance. We talk about some of the most important factors for setting yourself up for success. Today, a really big show. We are well into the postseason in baseball. And as the playoff teams battle it out still, the rest of the baseball world is heading into the offseason. And it's an important time. It's a real important time. One, to make progress in terms of your performance, but two, also to look at what you can do to prevent injuries. We say, make hay while the sun is shining. Well, if the sun ever shines on a baseball player, it's during the offseason. Today, we're going to talk with Donovan Santes, the head of strength and conditioning for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have put together a performance team, one of the few full-on in-house performance teams in all of baseball. And I like the concept. I really like the idea of having all these experts on hand to help your entire organization achieve and succeed. We'll talk to Donovan about what they're doing in the offseason with their players and what developing players should be thinking about as they head into their offseason. So when we look at professional sports, we know that it's just an incredibly unpredictable environment. There's so many variables involved. Trying to choose a winner or pick a winner is sometimes more difficult than it seems. In fact, at the start of every season, we like to look at the landscape of a professional sport and try to predict what's going to happen. Now, I've gotten away from trying to predict winners and losers and who's going to do well. And of course, in true Crush fashion, we focus more on storylines and what to watch and the interesting things that we might be able to learn from the season. And just to give you an idea of how difficult it truly is, if we go back to the start of the Major League Baseball season, you know, I pick my 10 teams to watch. And of course, we also like to look at the Vegas odds to see what Vegas is saying in terms of the baseball landscape or the professional sporting landscape. And at the start of this season, if we look what the Vegas odds had laid out for us in terms of who will be the most successful teams, who's going to win the World Series, they had the Boston Red Sox and the Cubs neck and neck to win the World Series. Shortly behind them was the Indians, then the Dodgers, the Nationals. They had the Giants in sixth place, then the Astros, and then the Mets, and then the Blue Jays. And that's all based on the landscape, the signings, the team rosters at the start of the season. But take a look at this. If we consider the league standings at the end of the season, well, you know, the Vegas odds weren't that far off. We had Boston leading the AL East, and we had the Cubs, of course, taking the NL Central. So they're pretty right on right there. They had the Indians bang on. I didn't think the Indians would do quite as well at the start of the season, but hey, Cleveland walked away with the AL Central. So their first three picks are right on. Then they went to the Dodgers and the Nationals. Dodgers, great pick. The Nats were a little up and down and iffy at the start of the season, but hey, look, the Nationals, they didn't just win their division, they absolutely destroyed their division. They were 20 games up on second place Miami Marlins at the end of the season. Just ridiculous numbers. And honestly, I've never seen such separation. The San Francisco Giants were 40 games back, and the Vegas odds had them finishing sixth at the start of the season. So they got totally derailed. The Astros, they had in seventh place. And of course, the Astros were a very, very pleasant surprise this year. Fun to watch. Great team. And frankly, I think they're going to take the World Series. But they were 21 games up on the second place Los Angeles Angels in the AL West. And then behind the Mets, they had the Blue Jays. That's the Vegas odds. And the Blue Jays, of course, finished 17 games back. And the Mets, well, frankly, the Mets were never in contention all year long. So I'm not sure where the Mets came from. But that just gives you an idea of how difficult it can be to predict success in professional sports. Imagine being inside of an organization trying to orchestrate success. Well, if you go back into the archives, we've had some great conversations over the last few years with some executives in various sports from various teams. But we really like to look at the successful teams to see what they're doing to be successful. We also like to look at the teams who are failing to find out what's going on inside and what we can do to avoid that as we move forward. We have to learn from the environment. The Crush picks for this year at the start of the season, our number one team to watch, not necessarily to win, but to watch for a number of reasons, was Boston. Our number two team was the Cubs. Then we had the Jays. Cleveland was our number four team. And of course, we were watching the Dodgers at number five. Number six, we had the Astros. We really wanted to watch the Nationals. The Washington Nationals were an interesting team right from the get-go. We weren't sure what they were going to do with Bryce Harper. If they faltered in the first half, Bryce Harper might be a Yankee right now. But they were successful, and they're cruising. They're cruising into the playoffs. So number eight was Kansas City to see if they could sort of repeat or recapture some of the success they've had over the last few years. The Texas Rangers, and I finished my top 10 off with St. Louis because St. Louis is faltering. They're trying to rebuild. They're a few years away, but I wanted to see what they could do, and they actually made a great charge towards the end of the season. They just didn't have enough. Arizona was our honorable mention this year, and they might be one of the pleasant surprises of the baseball season. And I have to mention Colorado and the Milwaukee Brewers. They weren't on our list this year, and they were sort of our dark horses that came out of nowhere. I didn't see Colorado doing anything special this year, and the Milwaukee Brewers, in terms of bang for the buck, they were the best investment in all of baseball. At the All-Star break, we looked at the midseason standings and we looked at the payrolls from the start of the season to find out which teams were really doing well based on the amount of money that was being invested in their teams. And of course, the Milwaukee Brewers were leading their division at the All-Star break. They're 30th in payroll, spending just over $83 million on player salaries at the start of the season. And at the All-Star break, they were 5.5 games up on the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs are number 10 in overall payroll at the start of the season with $182 million on the books. That's almost $100 million more than the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, at the end of the season, things faltered off. Milwaukee finished six games back of the Cubs, but bang for the buck, return on investment, Milwaukee Brewers were by and far the best money spent in Major League Baseball this year. Boston, who finished top of the AL East, started the season at number three with a payroll of $222 million, just over $222. New York was number two. They finished 3.5 games back. They were number two in payroll with a payroll of $224.5 million. In the AL Central, Cleveland, who finished on top, was number 18 in overall payroll at about $140 million. The AL West, Houston Astros, finished first there. They were 16th overall in payroll at the start of the season, right around $150 million. In the National League, if we look at the NL East, Washington, of course, as we mentioned, just destroyed their entire division. At the start of the season, they were number seven in overall payroll, right at $189 million, almost $190 million. And so, you know, they've got a good return for their investment as well. when we look at sort of what the outlook was for Washington at the start of the season, but that's what you get for $189 million. Again, we go to the NL Central. The Cubs turned it around after the All-Star break and walked away with that division, being number 9 overall in payroll. And in the NL West, the Dodgers finished strong there, and they were picked, of course, to do well. They were the number 1 pick in baseball, I think, overall, if you look at what that team looks like on paper. The Dodgers had the largest payroll in all of baseball, $266.9 million. Coming in second in the NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who made the playoffs through the wild card berth, finished 11 games back, and they were 20th overall at the start of the season in payroll at $119 million, which again would probably be, if we look at return on investment for what happened this season, the Arizona Diamondbacks would probably be number 2 overall in terms of return and investment next to Milwaukee Brewers overall. So anyway, does money actually mean results? Not necessarily, but when we look at the Yankees, Boston, the big spenders, certainly the Dodgers now, who are the, now I guess you could say the evil empire of the West, you can sort of equate money to success, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful. And that's one of the great things we see about the sport of baseball. Without a hard salary cap, there's teams with smaller salaries who can do really, really well, and we've seen it every single year. The Twins would be another one this year who really sort of came out of nowhere to have great success. So there's a lot of great stories in terms of that side of the game. And let's face it, there's big money in professional sports. Major League Baseball has its sights aimed at generating $15 billion of revenue per year. And this year it's predicted to crack the $10 billion mark, which would rival the NFL for one of the highest earning sports, professional sports on the market today. So the money's there, and it's great work if you can get it. So then the question becomes, how does it fall apart? The best laid plans, the big payrolls, the talent, the procurement, the scouting, the drafting, the big league rosters, the coaching staff, the performance support teams, and it's all so fragile when we talk about injuries. Injuries can derail the greatest, most perfect plans, the greatest setup, the biggest payroll in the blink of an eye. It's a major issue in every single sport. I mean, check out these numbers. It was reported that in 2015, Major League Baseball spent over $700 million on salaries for injured players, players that didn't play. In the NFL in 2015, they spent over $450 million. The NBA spent $350 million. And English Premier Soccer League, over $300 million. But it's much more than just the money you have to spend on injured players. It's what do losing these players mean to the success of the team? And when you try to add that up, what is the cost of not having these players in the lineup? It's much more than their salaries. That's a given, no question about it. And if you could come up with a formula that would give you that number, it would be gigantic. It would be astronomical. And I'm not sure you could even equate what losing two or three starters in a professional sport lineup can mean to the success of a team. You've got to have depth, no question about it. But the number one priority, make no mistake, is injury prevention. And when it comes to money spent on injuries, baseball is leading the way. And to give you maybe a better idea of what Major League Baseball has been dealing with, there was a great study done that looked at the injuries between 1998 and 2015. This data just came out last year, and the numbers are alarming. If you dig deep into the study, it tells you the trends and year by year, the progression of injuries, which is alarming in itself. But on average, over the 18 seasons they looked at, Major League Baseball spent $423.3 million per year on players on the DL. And over the 18 years, it worked out to be $7.6 billion spent on players who didn't play the game. Just to give you an idea of the scope of what's going on in professional sports, and this is baseball, of course, but understand this. These injuries and the majority of these injuries are happening before these guys make the pros, before they even sign their entry-level contract. Most of the injuries are happening in the developmental levels due to specialization, due to overtraining, underuse, improper mechanics, whatever it might be. A lot of the injuries are starting at a very young age. And there was a paper that came out not too long ago that looked at the injuries in the developmental levels, and particularly in high school. And a couple of the numbers really caught my attention. There's about $20 billion spent on high school injuries over the course of a season. And most of that was attributed to the contact sports. There's over 600,000 injuries in high school athletes over the course of a year. Now, this is a bunch of sports lumped together, but this is developmental high school sport, and the numbers are huge. Here's what we know for baseball players. When we look at the draft, there is more players in last year's draft and the year before that who've already had Tommy John surgeries than we've ever seen before in the history of the game. So the trend is consistent in baseball, though shoulder injuries and shoulder surgeries are on the decline. Elbow surgeries are on the rise, and we're seeing it at younger and younger ages. So across the sporting landscape, we're seeing a big push to improve player safety and player health, and that's definitely the right way to go. But what we really need to do now is look at why these injuries are happening. And there's a lot of theories in baseball. One of them is early specialization. Listen, the throwing motion is one of the most damaging and deadly movements in all of sport. It's just so unnatural, and the joint, the shoulder joint, and the elbow are so vulnerable during the motion, especially when athletes are throwing hard. And talking about throwing hard, we're seeing athletes throwing harder, younger, but we're also seeing the velocities go up. The average fastball in Major League Baseball went from around 92 to over 93 in the last couple of years. And in 2008, in the entire Major League Baseball season, there were 61 pitches thrown over 100 miles an hour by 8 different pitchers. If we fast forward to 2012, there were 397 pitches over 100 miles an hour by 15 pitchers. If we go to 2016, the last year we have complete data, there were 1,379 pitches over 100 miles an hour in the major league season by 31 different pitchers. There's a serious trend happening in the professional levels of sport, but we're seeing it at the developmental levels. There are more kids throwing harder now than ever before. It's because we know how to train. We know how to get velocity. We know how to get pitching accuracy. And it's happening earlier and earlier in the developmental curve. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Well, I think we're seeing the results right before our eyes. The number of injuries in minor sports is at an all-time high, as are the dropout rates. But we have to problem solve here. Why are these injuries happening? Well, velocity is certainly an issue. There's no doubt about it. And if we look at the tipping point for pitchers, it's 92 miles an hour. Data has shown us that once you throw a ball over 92 miles an hour, your risk of injury increases dramatically. And as a matter of fact, for every mile an hour over 92 miles an hour, your risk of injury increases 15%. And as soon as you get to 97 miles an hour, it goes up to something like 88% higher risk of injury. So there is a risk versus reward payoff for this velocity that we're creating. And it all comes around full circle to the idea of injury prevention. If we're going to prevent injuries, we have to look at long-term development. That's going to be really important. But we also have to prepare the athlete for the stresses of the sport. And when do you do that? And what do you do? Well, in your off season. And coming up right after this, we're going to talk with the head of strength and conditioning for the Toronto Blue Jays, our good friend Donovan Santos, about what baseball players should be thinking about as they head into their off season. Right after this on Crush Performance. Stick around, everyone.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxendine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penzer. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, thanks for sticking around, everybody. We are Crush Performance, your weekly source for performance information. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, or if you have a topic you'd like us to investigate, let us know. You can write to us, info@crushperformance.com. If we like your topic, we may dedicate a segment of the show or an entire episode to your idea. And we've got a lot of great emails over the last little while, so I want to thank everybody for that. We answer every single email, text, tweet that we get. If you're on Facebook, go to Crush Performance. You can get a sneak peek at our blogs, at our podcast. You can also get our free downloads. We have a book up there right now called The Key to Performance. Again, one of our number one priorities is to help people think about what they should be thinking about. And when it comes to setting yourself up for success, there are some fundamental keys to performance that you need to consider. And well, I wrote that book for you guys. So you can get it on our website, Crush Performance, or on Facebook, rather, at Crush Performance. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Crush. Well, we're talking injury prevention. We're talking human performance. And we're talking the baseball offseason. And when we look at what's going on in baseball, we need to have a serious discussion about curbing the injury trends that we're seeing. And these injuries are happening earlier and earlier in an athlete's development. And one of the key things that we need to do is make sure that we're preparing our athletes properly for the sport they're going to play. And in this case, the throwing motion in baseball. There's nothing more dangerous, nothing more destructive. And to compound the issue, we're not taking enough time away from throwing. We're now seeing showcases and tryouts and academies playing all year round. And trust me when I say this, I really do believe it. I can't quantify it, but I think if we really went out there and did a survey, we discover that we're destroying more talent than we're developing. And we've got to curb this trend. We have to curb it. It's all going to come down to just education, I believe. And so today, we are going to talk with one of our good friends, the head of strength and conditioning for the Toronto Blue Jays, Donovan Santez. Donovan, hey, thanks for joining us today. We know it's a really, really busy time down there for you guys.
Yeah, we're definitely in the heat of the moment down here at Fall Instructional League in Dunedin, Florida. But really, really glad to hear from you, Crush. Always great to talk to you, and glad to be able to talk to everybody out there in Canada.
Yeah, well, you know, for the Canadians and all the Blue Jay fans, not quite the season we were looking for, Donovan. But again, you know, you and I talked about it earlier. This game could truly drive you insane if you let it, because there's just so many variables that are ultimately out of your control, right? I mean, that's kind of, I think, what happened with the Blue Jays this year, just unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, I think you said it exactly right there. You know, there are so many things that are out of your control, and in sports, in life, and everything. And when you truly just look at the things that you can control, it kind of helps you get through harder times. Specifically, like this year, you know, there are a lot of things out of our hands that we couldn't prevent. We couldn't get ahead and change before they happened, but. How you respond to them, how you react to them, and what you do going forward is the most important thing anyway. So I think, you know, although as a, you know, as a staff and as a team and as a fan, the season did not go the way we wanted it to. I think we all got better from it. You know, we learned a lot, and I think we, as a team, I think they showed right to the very end, playing competitively and winning ball games right to the very end. There was no give up, and everybody just literally tried to get better every day and control what they could do and go from there.
Yeah, no, a real special group there in Toronto, and we're looking for great things in the years to come, no question about it. Donovan, I can't help, you know, at this time of year, as we head into the playoffs and we sort of reflect back on the season, you know, I honestly, from our perspective, from the player development, talent development, skill acquisition side, I can't help but look at how far the game has come over the years. And since you and I started working together way back in the day, you know what, on Donovan, it's just truly, truly amazing. And I think somewhat rewarding from my perspective to see where the game has come. When I started with the Blue Jays, I was only like the third full-time minor league strength coach in all of baseball. And now it's standard procedure. Donovan, so much emphasis now on player performance, player development, and just managing athletic talent. It's incredible what's going on in sport right now, and especially in baseball.
Oh, it's certainly growing. And not just the Blue Jays, but across sport, across all sports, all the major sports and high school and collegiate sports as well. There's a true need, you know, to try to deliver to the athlete what they need. And, you know, the more specific you can get with that, I think the more perceived competitive advantage you have. And that's what's driven by that, you know, trying to give your players exactly what they need, the best possible coaching and resources and things like that. So it's driven by an unending desire to get better.
Right. And I agree. We're talking with Donovan Santos, the head of strength and conditioning for the Toronto Blue Jays. Donovan, some really exciting things going on in Toronto over the last couple of years. And, you know, I do believe when you and I collaborated back in the day when you came into the Blue Jays, we really put together something special in baseball. I really believe that, and I still believe that. And you guys have just been carrying on with that theme. I like the incredible idea of a performance team for professional sporting organizations, and that's what the Blue Jays have sort of built. And I just wanted to ask you, how's that coming, and what does it look like for our listeners that maybe don't have a perspective of what's going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's probably no big surprise, but we have added a lot of additional high-performance staff the last couple of years. And some of it was, you know, kind of catching up to where we wanted to be in the past, and some of it is moving a little bit farther ahead, you know, in some regards. But you know, it's one thing to collect all the best staff members that you can. It's another thing to create an environment and a workplace where everybody works together for the common goal of delivering a really specialized program to an athlete that needs it, you know, and then coach them up from there. So I think it allows some coaches, you know, myself included, to stop wearing as many hats and be able to have direct access to some of the best resources in the world. And those are a lot of times those are people with impeccable credentials and experience that we can rely on every day. So a lot of times, you know, in the past you might have to go outside your org and consult. Now I think we have the benefit of having a lot of those experts in-house and having them work with us on a daily basis.
Yeah, so great. And to have those experts familiar with the teams and the players inside the organization, that's a really, really big feather in the cap for sure. Rather than, you know, and there's maybe a place still for, you know, consulting outside the organization, but I really like this idea of having everybody familiar with the big picture and what the organization is trying to do as a whole, and maybe even familiar with some of the athletes as they continue to work with them over their development.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, the more exposure that our younger athletes can have, you know, to all the resources they need from the moment they enter the organization all the way up until hopefully a long major league career, just establishes that bond, grows it, and you know, and we as a staff grow along with the player. You know, we'll learn and get better just as the player does, and I think that's the beautiful thing. It's not, you know, it's not just the player getting better. We as staff, you know, challenge ourselves every day to get better, to learn and develop as people and professionals.
Donovan, you know, it's been interesting to watch how our profession has developed, but also, you know, the level of play that's coming into organizations now. The developmental levels, as you mentioned, college and high school programs are getting better and better. And it has a lot to do with the sharing of information. And, you know, I think people are starting to understand what it really takes to play at the higher levels now. So we're preparing our youth a little bit better. There's a fine balance between development and injury prevention. And injury prevention is so, so important, especially at the professional level right now. If you look at, I guess, the amount of revenue spent on players who can't play, this is a real big concern. But there's a balance between going too far into injury prevention and losing the side of performance training as well. So that's a real sort of, I guess, a balance you have to find in terms of an organizational approach, would you say?
100%. Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And I think that's where you need to look at each athlete as an individual and where are they at in their process as developing into a professional. And, you know, are they just beginning their career? You know, are they a young high school athlete that's entering the professional mold? You know, are they a college athlete that's had a little bit more experience, a little bit more training history under their belt? Are they an upper level minor league player who's, you know, had several minor league seasons under their belt, you know, and now they're trying to take it to the next level? Or are we talking about, you know, a major league veteran here that were, you know, really just adamant about keeping on the field and purely looking at performance, you know? And I think, you know, some of the younger guys, I think you can take more of a slow cook approach and focus a little bit more on developing their body to be able to withstand the rigors of a longer season and that type of work, and you know, pushing that their off season is protected, where they're not playing extra games and extra practice and stuff like that, but more focused on their strength training and recovery and things like that to hopefully better adapt their body to the rigors that they're going to face in these upcoming seasons, you know. And then, you know, some of your upper level minor league guys, I think you can take a different approach where, you know, you've had a chance to build their body a little bit more rigorously over the last few years of where they've played professional baseball. And now you can take a little bit more individualized approach as far as, are there any physical characteristics that are preventing them from taking the next step to becoming an everyday major league player? You know, is it a mobility? Is it a strength? Is it a power? Or is it just a, you know, work capacity or something in those regards? But finding, you know, what specifically in their program is going to take their actual baseball to the next level. And then our major league guys, honestly, it's purely about performance. It's about putting them on the field every single day and getting the most maximized performance out of them every single day. You know, and I think if you get those mixed up, and you know, and you're a high school kid or you're, you know, in the very, very low level minor leagues and you're purely focused on performance and results, I think you're going to get things switched up a little bit too much and be focused on the wrong things, because you might get a really good performance one day, but it's going to be too hard to maintain that consistency throughout a whole season. And honestly, it shouldn't be the focus during that time of their career anyway. They should be focused on a well-rounded approach and trying to get better in all facets of the game and not purely baseball.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Donovan Santes, the head of strength and conditioning for the Toronto Blue Jays. Donovan, you said something in there that I thought was really, really important. Protect your offseason. That is just a great statement right there, because I think, you know, the way the game is going with early specialization in sport, especially at the younger levels, I think we're really losing the concept of an offseason here. I mean, we see players playing all year round. We see showcases and tryouts. There's no break from the game. I really like that statement, protect the offseason.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings is that if you're not playing baseball, you can't get better at baseball. And it's 100% not true. There's a trillion things you can do to be a better baseball player that has absolutely nothing to do with playing or practicing baseball every single day. And simply giving your arm a rest for an extended period of time could potentially be the best thing you ever do in your career, and saving those bullets, for lack of a better term, but just saving some of that wear and tear on your arm at an early age could reap benefits much later in your life. But you know, taking some time off and doing some dedicated strength training and get better adapted body to the game, you know, or playing a different sport and gaining some different athletic qualities. As a professional organization, one of the things we look at specifically with our pitchers, and you may not expect it right away, but we specifically look for athleticism in our pitchers. And you know, all the other qualities of pitching are very important, but athleticism tells us that when adjustments are necessary to be made, the player or the athlete has the ability as an athlete to be able to make those adjustments. And obviously the less athletic you are, the more difficult it will be for you to make some of those harder adjustments physically down the road. So, the better athlete you can be, even if you're just a pitcher, the more important it is.
Donovan, do we trace back to the, I guess, the starting point of athletic careers? You know, we have this whole a long-term athlete development model, and we know there's certain time frames in a person's development that are critical for, you know, let's say strength or conditioning or cardiovascular performance, certainly skill and skill acquisition. One of the issues that we're facing out there in the landscape of sport in general is this whole concept of specialization. So two things I think that we really need to stress. If you have an opportunity to play multiple sports in those developmental levels, that's really important. That equates to better athleticism, all those experiences. And if you're an athlete that specializes early, you better have a really, really good program that takes you outside of the baseball box and really trains you as an athlete, because I believe that's so important. And Donovan, I think we're losing that in our developmental levels, and it's an absolute disaster.
I agree. And, you know, I think, the less pressure you can put on some of these kids, especially if they have a tendency to develop later in their teenagehood, I think it just helps them more, you know, and it allows them to view sports as a fun activity, you know, even though they may be specializing in baseball early, you know, being able to go out and play a pickup game of any other sport is just fun. And it develops athleticism, and it's a healthy competition. It's team building, it's bonding, all of those things. But beyond that, you know, it really, really saves some of the long-term damage you're doing by just repetitively, you know, driving some of those movements in over and over and over and over at such an early age.
We're talking with Donovan Santez, the head of strength and conditioning for the Toronto Blue Jays. Donovan, you know, it's an interesting time. You know, at the start of the season, we looked at the league, we looked at the teams, and there's a really cool phenomenon going on, and it's happening in a lot of different sports, but baseball, we're really seeing it. We're getting these great young players coming in and impacting the game at the highest level. I mean, these kids are rocking it. But on the other end, we're also seeing the seasoned veterans play longer and longer and longer, and not really even fading off, but maintaining or improving even late into their careers. So we're seeing this great bubble expanding in baseball. And I'm telling you right now, in my opinion, it has a lot to do with what's going on behind the scenes with the strength and conditioning crew and the way we're managing athletes over the course of their career. What a great time in sport. Don't you agree?
No question. Such a great thing to see, you know, see some of these exceptionally gifted athletes being able to carry that longer into their career and play longer, and extend their playing age farther than maybe they expected. And the other thing is some of the exceptionally young talent that's coming up through the systems everywhere, that you can just see it and you really can't hold it back. I mean, it is that good. And it's that exciting to watch. It's those really dedicated kids who understand the process and take a day by day approach and, you know, don't force things that they get there a lot sooner than you think they would. And then they prove that they have the ability and the mindset and everything to stay, you know, so it's exciting when you get that blend of a good, strong veteran core with some upcoming, really talented young guys, and youth and excitement. That's the blend that I think everybody's looking for.
Yeah, great stuff. No, good, Donovan. Hey, so good to talk to you. I know it's a busy time, but I can't leave without asking you about your NFL prowess right now. We know you're a huge Packers fan, and well, frankly, the Packers are looking pretty good right now, my man. It's looking really good, so I'm sure that you're strutting around down there pretty nicely right now.
So far, so good. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's always exciting to be able to watch a team with a guy like Aaron Rodgers on there, who's such an incredibly exceptional talent. So you like your chances anytime they take the field with him out there, and it's the NFL is no different than every other league in the world. You know, injuries many times dictate how well your season goes, and so early on they're a little bit banged up, got some guys back, but we shall see. You know.
Yeah. No, great stuff. It's going to be a fantastic season. Every time I see those Packers, man, I'm thinking of you and Butter, and I know you guys are on the edge of your seat every time they're playing. So great stuff. Yeah. Hey, Donovan, hey, listen, thanks for your insights today. Really great baseball discussion and some really good insights for all the young players out there, and just also a good perspective of what's going on in the pros right now, man. We're really pushing the envelope, and I'm so glad. Thanks for your time today, my man.
Thanks for having me on, Crush. Always great to talk to you. Always great to be on.
Well, there you go. A fantastic conversation with Donovan. And I tell you what, mission accomplished. If that doesn't give you some things to think about for your offseason, I don't know what will. And again, if you have any questions, get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can write to us. info@CrushPerformance.com. Listen, we are here to help. If you're a young player, coach, or parent with a player that's looking to play the game of baseball or any other sport for that matter, hey, we're here to help. And that's what it's all about. So I have to thank Donovan for that great conversation. Such good insight. And, you know, we often say it, and I'll say it again. If you want to know what to do, look to the pros. Often, most often, you'll find out there's some new cutting-edge things going on. And sometimes you might even discover some of the things you shouldn't be doing. That's happened before as well. So that'll wrap up the show for this week. I want to thank you guys for listening. Hey, if you want to share this podcast with your friends, go to our website. You can get it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it, we're on it. If you have a young player or coach or teammates that are playing the game, getting ready for their offseason, we'd really like them to listen to this show because it might help them sort of focus their efforts and understand sort of the long-term approach that we have for developing players for the game. Coming up in the next few weeks, we are back to our war on sugar. There's a lot going down in the world right now as the World Health Organization announced recently that childhood obesity has grown 10 times since 1975. And if we don't curb this trend, by 2022, over half of our kids are going to be overweight or obese. And that is unacceptable. That's a global issue. And frankly, we're heading in the wrong direction. We've got to make some changes now. Big discussion coming up on the next Crush War on Sugar. And then we're getting back to the performance talk with our good friend Jim Fannin. His new book, Blueprint, is about to come out. And we're going to get a preview of that book. And also, we're going to talk about what you need to do to formalize your blueprint for success. Jim Fannin will join us in the upcoming weeks as well. So, again, thanks for listening today, everybody. And we'll talk to you next time right here on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach. And I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.